A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's ready to talk, not Mitch Muffin, Mitch Mastermind today. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our special Big Brother Canada live coverage here in the postseason. And we're excited to have an honored guest with us today. This is the first of these Big Brother Canada interviews that I've done after the season. And here he is, the great Mitch Moffitt. Mitch, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very excited to have you here because...
Thank you for having me.
Yes, that we've been looking forward to talking to you. We talked briefly during the regular season, had a little 10-minute quick interview before you were whisked away to the jury house. And then you've been out now, but we've been looking forward to talking to you and catching up since the season is over. We've got a all-star panel here with us as well today, of course. You know this guy, the host of Big Brother Happy Hour, the great Jordan Parhart is here.
What's up, Rob? Thanks for having me. Mitch, it's an honor to be on a podcast with you finally. This is going to be really fun. Really excited to do this.
Jordan, I notice on the live show that you are not in your bedroom, but you have moved to the kitchen. Is this a new setup?
Yeah, it's a new set. It's summer vacation, Rob. So I have the house to myself for like about, a little more than an hour. So my dad might walk in halfway through this podcast. So a little disclaimer there for everyone else. But I thought the setup was a little cooler and I'm tired of being in my closet doing these podcasts. So hopefully this will make me a little more comfortable, feel a little bit more loose during the podcast.
You're not going to get yelled at by your dad during the middle of the podcast. Like, Jordan, I told you no more podcasting in the kitchen.
It might happen. I don't know. I think it could be very interesting. I think that would be the first time in RHAP history someone's dad yelled at them on the podcast. So stay tuned. Should be entertaining.
All right. And then also with us is probably the biggest Mitch supporter all season long, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited for this. This is probably the best thing to happen in Big Brother Canada 4 since the stupid double eviction, fake eviction twist.
Fake double eviction. All right.
Whatever.
All right, Mitch. Yes, Taryn has been waiting to get to talk to you on the podcast. That he never got over it. he never did. Even from like going into the finale, really, he said this season is with an asterisk because of what happened to Mitch.
Yes, I've seen people tweeting it and letting me know, and it's very nice to know I had such a supporter in Taryn, because yeah. I was technically a fan of his before he was a fan of mine, watching and listening to this show.
Taryn, did you know this?
Well, he said on Twitter after he got out that I was his favorite. So, yeah, that was... All right. That warmed my heart in more ways than I can imagine.
Well, Mitch, I don't like to play favorites with the live feed correspondents. So let's
well, it's a good thing it's he's not you then.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Let Taryn get a big head. Okay. I know that you're for real because I think that going into the Big Brother house, I think that you might have been the only person who was following any of us on Twitter before the season even started. So that was a big props to you going in. And that's why we all had you as the winner pick going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, like, I honestly used this when I was even auditioning. I was like, I need to do research. I need to, like, make sure I know what I'm getting into. And I listened to so many of these podcasts. And I had auditioned even for season 3 as well. And so I've been prepping for a long time and used every interview you had ever done with any Big Brother person to understand. So, yeah, I was a huge fan before going in. Tried not to talk. Like, I didn't say I wasn't a fan on the show of Big Brother. I knew I couldn't hide that. But I never really talked about, like, listening to RJP, just because I was like, I don't want them to know that much about me.
Now, if you would have made it to season 3, could you have saved Jordan?
I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, I feel like maybe we filled a similar role and that's why I wasn't on season three.
Maybe that was it. All right. Anyway, so Mitch, very excited to have you on. We're going to take questions live from the people that are watching. Hashtag RHAP and also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Scott St. Pierre is behind the scenes pulling your questions. And hopefully we'll get to cover basically anything that people still want to know from Big Brother Canada 4 here today. So first off, Mitch, I have been following you on Snapchat, but what have you been up to since what's going on in the Big Brother jury house?
Oh, like since coming back home, honestly, just went straight back to work, had some fun, have had a chance to kind of catch up with people on the outside world from the show, which has been nice to kind of see people as a little bit more human once the show is over. But yeah, honestly, the weekend after we came out, I came straight back to work. It's been a weird experience to go back into the world and have to answer emails and have a cell phone and all these weird responsibilities. But I'm just back to ASAP Science office. I'm here right now, just here every day, back to my life of making science videos and trying to make science seem cool for people who don't think it's cool. So, yeah, just basically that. Back to work. It's boring, but that's what I do.
Right. And you have a huge following on the ASAP Science. I think that maybe perhaps there are some people that maybe only know you from the Big Brother Canada 4, but you, the work that you've done on ASAP Science is really incredible.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a started out as just like a little passion project to make science more engaging for people after we were at a university. But then it kind of became this whole thing that became our job. So that's cool.
The Star Wars video that you did with the different subjects from school, really, like I didn't know that, you know, you could sing. I mean, it's really, I was really blown away. Like, it's really incredible, some of the stuff that you guys have done. So kudos on all of that. Mitch, how was life in the jury house? Because I know that that in speaking with Jordan, it can be a little grating at times to live in the jury house, right, Jordan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and especially I think Mitch knows. Mitch and I were in a very similar situation because we were both the head of jury household, a prestigious honor that Arlie Chabon and AJ Berman once held as well. And we were in there both for 5 weeks. So yeah, it's really tough. And Mitch, I imagine it would. You probably struggled at times as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time to be away from society and the game. Like, I just wanted to play the game. I wanted to be in jury. I was really excited to be part of jury, but just that early. And then you just sort of like, I don't know. I would have loved to have been able to, like, do work or something or just, like, do other things other than just, like, watch TV shows and that sort of thing. So, like, I was happy I made it that far, but it definitely was kind of torturous at times to just be still trapped, still sequestered from society, but like not in the game.
Did you feel like you were getting a good sense of what was going on in the house as you were seeing whatever footage and then getting the download from the people who were coming into the jury house?
I think so. Like, I think I always, like, even in the game, had a handle on when people say things, how to actually interpret them. So even if someone, you know, if someone came to jury and they were like, maybe bashing someone for getting them out, I was still able to interpret it as like whether it was a good move or not. I probably didn't have like a wholesome view of everything. You only get like one person's perspective each week. But I will say, like, when I left the house, never really saw Cassandra as a huge contender. But then every single week after I was there, as people came in, was like, holy moly, this girl, I'm so proud of her. She's just willing to lie and say whatever the hell she has to say to win. And it was like, I started rooting for her more and more for the week. So it was cool to see how I had seen the game when I was there and then go week by week as every different juror came and kind of opened up the floor to what was going on in the house.
And what was your perspective in terms of somebody who was in the jury? You're watching all these people come in until we get down to a final 2+1 in that you have Kelsey and you have the brothers there in the final two. Like, where did it just blow your mind that that's what the final two ended up being?
Yes, like fully. Yes. Like, and I mean, the game's over. So like, no disrespect to either of them at this point, like, especially the brothers, they won. That's the way the game goes. It's all right. But yeah, I think honestly, for the first like 3 weeks, I was like certain the brothers were after me, like, that they, and like Raul walking in was a complete shock to me because it took such a specific set of circumstances for him to be the one evicted over Jared and Kelsey. Whereas if they had won, I was like pretty sure the brothers would have come there. So that's why, like, in the end, at the end of the day, when I was voting, I was just like, so much of what happened in the brother storyline I saw as luck. Not that they didn't also have game involved in there, but more than anyone saw it as luck. And obviously Kelsey coming back, it was kind of bittersweet to say, like, okay, all of us made the wrong decision by bringing Kelsey back because she beat all of us. And that was almost a reason to vote for her, just to be like, every single one of us messed up in the end. But yeah, it was not the final two I was hoping for, but yeah, that's the way these games go.
But that moment really, you know, it loomed so large for you because of what happened right after she came back. But really for the whole season, I mean, if LaVita comes back in that spot, I mean, how does this all work out?
So much less predictably, I think. Not that I had it was able to predict it, but the reason people were okay with Kelsey coming back was because they knew where she fit into the puzzle, I think. Even with myself, like, I knew, okay, there's a risk that she knows some information about me, but I know she fits into this side with Jared and Raul, and, like, I'm pretty close with them and just fought for them this whole week, so even if she comes back with information, hopefully I can fight against that. Whereas LaVita, on the other hand, was, like, kind of like a really intense wild card the whole game that I think everyone felt like she didn't trust them, including myself. Like, I had been working with her, but always felt like, does LaVita actually trust me? Because she knows I'm working with the threesome. And if she comes back, I just voted her out. Like, she's going to be pissed. And I'm sure I'm, like, near the top of her list to go after. So, yeah, it would have been a very different game. I have no idea where she would have landed and what she would have wanted to do had she come back. And I think that's why the strongest and loudest voices were all cheering for Kelsey. Then the rest of the voices just kind of followed suit.
I don't know if we ever got an accurate accounting of what that unanimous vote scenario was like. Was it just sort of like Jared was like, guys, I say we just bring back Kelsey, and nobody was like, I object or anything like that?
It was like embarrassingly quick the way it happened. And I think it's because there was Jared, Raul, Cassandra, and the brothers instantly were like, Kelsey's coming back. It has to be Kelsey. End of story. Like, we're never changing our vote. She's easier to live with, like, she's less stressful, and she's in our alliance. Obviously, they're not saying that. And then so the rest of us, like, I probably didn't speak for a good, like, 5 to 10 minutes while I was just letting everyone else talk, because I'm like, okay, I just worked so hard to get into Kelsey's position to have Jared and Raul, like, trusting me, undoubtedly. And so I can't just sit here and now, like, bash a reason Kelsey shouldn't come back or support LaVita, because it might put them into question with, like, my motives. And so I'm kind of waiting to see if, like, if the tide can go towards LaVita, maybe I can say, like, okay, yeah, like, if LaVita comes back, we can all just agree we're going to vote her out as soon as she comes back. But the conversation, like, never really went that way. Joel was probably the only other person who was like, I would vote for LaVita. Obviously, her and I were close. And maybe Tim kind of had, like, a more neutral voice. But other than that, it was most people. You know what I mean? Like, the ones of us that would have put, I think if we got to vote in private, LaVita would have come back. I honestly think so. If we got to go into the DR or just had more time to talk away from everyone, because then I could have talked to even Jared and Raul and been like, look, like, Kelsey's going to make you guys a bigger threat if she comes back into this game, or come up with some solution to minimize why I would want LaVita back. And that would have not damaged my relationship with them, but obviously because we were in front of everyone the whole time, it just was difficult. So it was very, very fast that it was decided.
Yeah, it was just one of those problems with being in the middle. You can't be pushing too hard for something to happen, or then you're no longer in the middle.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was weird because those two leaving back to back was, like, in my perspective, like, perfect for my game. Like, I got Kelsey out. I took over her position. Cassandra was cut off ties from that trio, and now I was in it. And then LaVita was someone I was working with, but honestly had, like, a lot of trust issues with, or at least I knew she distrusted me. So the fact that, like, I obviously had no plans to get rid of her, but that she went that way, it kind of was like, okay, I've fallen into, like, a really good position here perfectly. And so that those two were the ones that were stuck in a room together, and that those two were the ones that could have come back was just, like, perfectly awful for my game. But yeah.
So when you first heard that that was going to be the case, when they told you that one of them was going to come back, I mean, did you instantly know this was a major problem, or did it slowly start to sink in?
I think slowly. I think honestly, like, my brain first went to, like, denial. It was like, no, like, this, they don't like each other. Like, they would have had the worst time in a room together. They probably didn't talk. They probably didn't say anything. Like, if anything, like, I can minimize what has happened because, A, LaVita knew I was working with the three people. So it wasn't going to be a problem if she came back in that same way. And I just, I didn't think that what she could have told Kelsey would have made Kelsey so strongly believe I was like against them. And I didn't think Kelsey could convince Jared and Raul, who I wasn't against, that I actually was against them. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I thought I had enough ammunition to say, like, look, like I've been fighting for Jared and Raul since Kelsey left. So like, here's my resume. Yeah, you were up against Raul and I campaigned to get you out. But I don't know. I didn't think it would be as big a problem for me until the night she came actually into the house. And then I was like, okay, it's going to be a problem.
And then in terms of the week that you were on the block, do you feel like there was anything you could have done differently as you sort of like have this time in the jury house to do an audit of your game and how it all went down? Because you had sort of been under the radar. And then at the point when you go up on the block, you know, I'm all in. I'm going after you. You thought you can get me out, and you really start to play hard. Do you feel like there's a way that you could have gotten off that spot, or you were just dead in the water the whole week?
I think at that point, like possibly. I mean, there's always other things like I probably could have tried or pushed harder on. I know, like thinking back, I mean, whether it's moves I could have made and whether it's like having won that HOH that knocked Levita out in the first place, and I probably would not have gotten Levita out. But those are little things that you're like, you could think about that forever. Maybe trying to be closer to Tim. Like, that's a question I get a lot. Like, do you think if you had spent more time with Tim earlier in the season, would then maybe he have been on your side? Which may be true. And, it probably is true. But I think Tim and I, like, we knew each other's game. Like, as soon as he walked in the door, I knew everyone loved him and I knew he was so smart. And I knew if I talked to him, it was only giving him more ammunition to understand my game. And so, like, it was always like, it is Tim or I. And so in that last week, I obviously was desperate. I was like, okay, I have to like see if Tim's a viable option now. And I don't think he ever would have switched because I think he wanted it to be the Tim show and not the Tim and Miss show. But yeah, I think there's little things here and there. Maybe near the end, something I think about now, and I don't know if it would have been possible, is if I went back to Jared and Kelsey after all of it had happened and said, like, look, the reason someone like Tim and Cassandra don't want to keep me is because they're worried I'll work with you guys again. And they have Joel. Like, who does Joel go to when I leave? And I feel like maybe I could have tried that angle, but I just think Raul wasn't going to have it. And I feel like I had done the damage that I tried to do by, like, making them think I was an awful person and, like, saying awful things about them. So I don't know. I think at the moment it happened, there wasn't many other options I had from going sort of, like, ballistic.
Yeah. I do love the idea of the Professor X and Magneto of it all, of you and Tim sort of being the two people who are, you know, in this middle, who have your pawns on the board, who, you know, you're very suspicious of each other. Do you feel like that in a future scenario, because we've seen this in so many of these different Survivor and Big Brothers, where you have the two people who realize, okay, you're the other person who's the main contender. Is there more incentive to try to work together? Or do you feel like that one of them always has to go?
I mean, it's probably, yeah, it's a lesson to learn that you should never, like, I don't know. It was tough because Tim was so, everyone was so enamored with Tim. So even if I wanted to spend time with him, it was like, I don't know that I would have been the person he would have wanted to talk to anyway, because of like how he knew I was playing the game. I mean, there was a point in the game when I was about to leave and I was like, Tim, like, if I stay, like, you and I, like, and I think he had even said, like, we can control this game together. We can make every decision because people don't quite expect it. But, I mean, he didn't need me is the honest truth. Like, he made it all the way to the end. And I think that is the way the game goes. If you have two kind of antithesis players who are good players, they don't necessarily need each other to do well. And in fact, it's like, they're both going to be thinking like who cuts the other one first. And so it's hard to, if you know someone can read you, it's really hard to trust them. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to get your take on Tim also towards the end of the game. So he ends up going out of the game and he has this moment in the finale where he talks about how, you know, I didn't really want to, you know, win at the end. I wasn't sure I wanted to win. I wanted somebody else to have the experience. I mean, I know that you are as serious of a game player as it gets. What did you think of all that?
Lies. It's all lies. Like, I mean, I love Tim. Don't get me wrong. He's an amazing player, but all season long, had he ever been in danger and was going to go on the block and potentially go home, that would have been his story. And a lot of us knew that. He did play the card the whole game, like, you know, I don't want to win. I want to help someone win. And I think, like, that was a viable strategy that helped him in the game. But I do also think it was like an ego projection thing where he had a true story he was projecting to the cameras as well, that he didn't really care because he had a lot to live up to. Like he won his season. He came second on The Apprentice in his country. And I think he is really smart, and it was going to hurt his ego if he couldn't win this game. So I don't buy it. I think he really did want to win. I think it hurt him a lot. And I think I haven't seen that far in the show yet, but my assumption is during the final challenge, he probably felt like he had taken too long and thought, okay, I'm going to lose a challenge, which means they're going to vote me out anyway. So I need to wrap this up right now and make it look like it was my choice. Mm-hmm.
Also in the finale, you end up voting for the brothers instead of Kelsey. Now you had said when you left the house, hey, anybody from Three-Headed Monster makes it to the finale, you've got my vote. Was that just an opportunity for you to sort of turn the knife by going back on that? Or did you feel like that there was no way you could vote for Kelsey? Because I've heard people, I thought that the Pax brothers were a very good television, but people say that Kelsey could, you know, there was an argument to be made for Kelsey winning.
Yeah, honestly, okay, like what? I wasn't left with the very great options, to be honest. So I was like, I went in like, honestly, like, I did not pray. I was praying for Tim to walk and be in that final two. And when he walked out, it was just like, okay, I had not planned for this. It was in denial, and I had never actually planned for what do I do if Kelsey and the brothers are in the final two. And so in that moment, I'm actually sitting on the stage, like panicking in my brain, being like, I don't know who I'm going to vote for right now. So literally my question is going to define who I vote for or the questions in general. In that moment when I asked Kelsey, I felt like I was trying to spoon feed her, be like, just acknowledge that you had some strategy. Just, you don't need to say that you like fully manipulated your friends, but you can just say that you were aware that Jared was somebody who was protecting you and probably go before you. And Raul was like also part of that. But she just couldn't articulate anything that I respect and appreciate in the game. And so in that moment, I feel like she half lost my vote. And then as I'm thinking like, okay, the brothers have won like 7 challenges or something like this, and they had a couple better answers. I don't know. At the end of, and I felt like they actually wanted it in some ways. Like Phil was a super fan of the show. Kelsey would always be like, I'm just here for the experience. And so it was just like, I very, very rarely leave things to last minute gut decisions. Usually I just like plan it out and I know what I'm going to do. And it was one of those times when I just like made that decision right before walking up. So I don't regret it. When I had said that thing in the house about I would have voted for any one of those three had they laid out a good game and said, like, this is what I did, I deserve to win, I would have been like fully okay voting for one of those three. And that's kind of what my speech on the way was, my way out was trying to accomplish, was to say, like, don't bring them to the end because you think I won't vote for them, because if they played a good game, I will.
Mm-hmm. Was there any sort of like a turning of the head to like one person to another on the jury? Like to like, what are you doing? Are you doing? Are you, like, did I'm interested to know on that live Big Brother. I would ask Jordan. They took his vote away. Oh, but you got to vote though, right? You got to cast it.
Yes, I did get to cast it. But then after Arissa, when I got voted out and Arissa revealed that I was the one who was voted out of the jury, she made me cross the stage and go sit with the Ginger Ninja and Arisha and Johnny and Neha. And yes, yeah, so in hindsight, like most people think that I didn't get to vote, but yes, I did.
But Jordan, in your season, did it feel like were people kind of like looking at each other and stuff, or was it like?
Well, yeah, because for us, I mean, it's similar to you guys. I think for all of us, we assumed it was going to be Godfrey and Ashley. We thought Sarah Hanlon had no way of getting to the final three and her final two unless she won that final HOH. And then we found out Godfrey won and we were like, whoa, that's crazy. So yeah, for sure, I think a lot of us weren't really prepared. And that's, I think, something you saw on season three where Sarah got, I think, like 6 questions and Godfrey got 2 because so many people screwed up their questions because they had the wrong person. They didn't realize, like, they just didn't prepare for a Godfrey Sarah final two. So yeah, it certainly, I imagine, That probably happened for you guys a little bit. And I could tell by the reactions of everybody, people were not pleased. I think I saw Maddie like booing and she's like, boo, like something like that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, honestly, in the moment, and I mean, like, I don't know what was on TV, so hopefully I'm not like spilling.
You didn't rewatch the finale?
Not yet. No, I'm going in order and I want to like see it at the end of it all. But it was like, you could tell we were all just like, what do we do? Like, as soon as Tim came out too, it was like, Tim, because I really appreciated in jury every single time somebody came and gave us like their analysis. And of course, out of everyone there, I would have appreciated Tim's analysis of everyone's gameplay more than anyone's. And so, like, as Tim walked out, we were all kind of like, what's Tim think? Like, who do you think should win on this? And, like, he, I don't know. I think he also voted for the brothers. So, I don't know. It was a very strange moment where I think all of us were kind of like, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Can we walk away? Can we abstain?
Yeah. They make you vote. So then, in terms of your rewatch, where are you at right now?
I just got up to Maddie and Ramsey being nominated.
Okay. And it's not a rewatch for you. It's actually just a first watch for you.
Yeah. This is my first watch. Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to go the whole way through?
I am. Yeah. I mean, like, really, I just wanted to see me. But now that I'm like, okay, no, I actually am more excited to see the stuff that, like, happened since I was gone. Because, like, I feel like it did evolve in such a way that I didn't anticipate it to. So I'm excited to see that. Yeah, for a long time, and I even talked to Jordan about this, I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it. I didn't know if it would, like, define my experience in a different way. But I think, if anything, it's been, like, additive to what I experienced. Like, it only gave me a new perspective in conjunction with my own. That was cool. So it's been a fun experience to watch it.
Jordan, what did you do? You watched the whole thing after you got home?
Yeah. So when I got home, like, I waited a little bit. Actually, I think I did. I watched Survivor first, and then after Worlds Apart, I saw Mike Holloway win. And then, yeah, after that, I couldn't, it was really, like, bothering me. Like, I didn't want to watch, but I knew I had to. So I just locked myself in my room, which is basically a closet, and I just got really drunk and just binged it all in, like, a day and a half. So, yeah.
You binged the alcohol or the Big Brother?
A little bit of both. It was a binging of all sorts.
All right, Taryn, I know you've been dying to ask Mitch all of these questions. So what is it? What's the number one thing you want to know from Mitch?
Number one. Oh, man. How about
Mitch, this has never happened before. He's never struggled to come up with a question before.
Oh, no, I'm not struggling. I'm struggling to pick one because I have some. I want to go through his whole game. But
Taryn, are those tears in your eyes that I see? Are you tearing up?
Stop it, Jordan. so that crazy week when Dallas was up against Maddie and it was going back and forth. That was, like, for me at least, and I think for a lot of people, that was, like, one of the best weeks of live feeds we've seen in a long time. There was so much happening, so much flipping back and forth. Like, what were you thinking during that whole week? And, like, the stakes were really high. Did you recognize how high the stakes were? Because this was kind of the pinnacle of you and Tim in the back and forth that had been kind of subtly going on throughout the season.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's why I pushed, because they were, like, even Tim tried to spin it like, Mitch is making the wrong move. Like, he needs to keep Dallas because he needs to keep the dynamic of Dallas versus Jared. But this is a point at which I'm like, okay, the dynamic has gone on for long enough and it's time to switch it. We can make two new enemies in the brothers and Cassandra, and Cassandra's tied to Tim. So this, like, this gets everyone else on Tim's case or damaging Tim's game, which is, like, part of my ultimate goal. That week was really interesting. I do feel like that's one of the weeks where I'm like, I, on the edited version, didn't get, like, the credit that was due. not that it was all my doing, but I do think, like, I'm not sure what time, like, the feeds get cut off before the show goes, but
it was actually very interesting because you had flipped Nikki the night before, and then the feeds cut the day of, and then they came back and Nikki had flipped back over and then back over again because
she was the swing vote, like, 1,000%. And I don't think the show really got that across that much. We were all fighting for Nikki's vote that week. And so, like, this is the way it went down from my perspective. Okay. Like, let me know if I'm delusional. But really it was Nikki, like, maybe 4 hours before eviction, she decided in front of all of us, she said, okay, I'm not going to vote out Dallas. I'm going to vote Maddie because I can't be the one who bears, like, voting somebody out of this game. So Tim's going to have to break the tie. And then Tim had already told all of us, like, if it's a tie, he's keeping Dallas because, like, he thinks Dallas is a better competitor, blah, blah, blah. So at this point, we're all just like, oh, my God, this sucks so much. Like, we've worked so hard. Now, like, the four or five of us are just, like, screwed, however many votes there were. I forget. And so at that point, Dallas gets very, very confident after he knows that he's got a tie and he thinks he's staying. And so, you know, me and Jared are still scrambling, trying to convince the brothers and Cassandra that what their best move is to keep Dallas, whether or not it's their best move, like, but we're just trying to convince them of that. And Dallas comes over and he's like, what are you guys doing? Like, still trying to fight? Like, you're just jealous that I'm standing, kind of, like, getting up in our face about like this whole, now that he thinks he's staying, he's like able to kind of like puff his chest out to us. And him and Jared get in kind of a shouting match, but Jared can't like take it, so he walks away. So then I've never been in a shouting match in this house before, but I'm like, okay, Nikki's just standing right around the corner, and this is a perfect time to like have a fighting match because I know she really cares about me. And so her and I, or Dallas and I, like I just start like going back and forth with him. We're kind of yelling at each other, and he's an easy guy to kind of like work up, and he's like very loud. So, you know, everyone in the house knows this fight's happening. And so after this fight ends, I just like kind of storm off to my room looking like really disturbed. And Nikki comes in and she hugs me and she's like, oh my God, your little heart's rating so fast. And I was like, is it? Like, I'm like, oh, I know, it's going so fast. And then, so she, in that moment, I'm like, Nikki, if we keep Dallas, like, I'm screwed. Like, because of that fight, he's going to vote me out. He's going to come after me. Like, I don't know what to do. And then she was like, okay, I'm going to vote out Dallas. And then we were all like, okay, like Nikki cannot talk to anyone else before eviction because this has happened too many times. So literally had a plan. And I wish this was, I guess if it came to fruition, it would have been on the show, but it was like me, Ramsey, Maddie, Nikki, Jared, Raul, all in a room, put our hands in, and we're like, this is the new alliance. Brothers and Cassandra are our next target. And then we were like, okay, we need a plan for the rest of the day. No one, like Nikki can never be alone. And so even in the eviction, like I'm sitting beside Nikki so that no one can convince her. And so, yeah, that's kind of the way that vote went down. But to me, I felt like it was a chance to switch up the dynamic. And it was like, in a way, a move against him because I thought like, it was a chance for me to kind of take a shot at him.
Have you kept up with Nikki since the show has been over?
Yeah, like briefly, not too much. I mean, just through social media, I think she's done a lot of traveling and stuff. So hopefully once she's kind of settled and back home, we'll get a chance. She did come to Toronto for a bit and we like went for lunch, got to hang out and rekindle our love. But beyond that, hopefully I'll get a chance to like go over to London and see her. And yeah, there's definitely going to be a friendship there.
Okay. What about that first week before the feeds came on where we really sort of just like the show started and it was like, oh, everybody's mad at LaVita. LaVita has the HOH-itis. How bad was that first week?
Yeah, it was like LaVita's game, or just as a game player, not everyone gave her credit for the times when she was an amazing human being as well. So I feel like I got to see parts of LaVita and that's why I was working with her as well. Because I was like, she has a sweet, awesome side to her that I really enjoy, but she also was a very, very intense game player that just even the way she, like her body language would be and how she would like scare you down, or she'd come downstairs and you'd be talking on a couch to someone and she'd just like stand and stare at you from 10 meters away and you'd be like, what's happening? So like, and even when you're like working with her, like it just always felt like she never trusted me and I'm someone who was working with her. So I feel like everyone kind of felt that same vibe. She, in that first week, was in the HOH room probably like 80 to 90% of the time. And I mean, that's something that even just being in the house, I realized is such a disadvantage of being the first HOH is that you don't share a room with everyone. Like I didn't want to win that first HOH, but I didn't consider how strongly your bedroom situation, and probably the same on Survivor, like where you sleep beside people, mm-hmm. actually defines how like intimate or close you feel to them. And the alliances kind of fell suit. Like our rooms kind of divided an alliance line. And I think for her, that made her like this anomaly outside of these other alliances that were forming because she spent a whole week sleeping alone or with Shari. And so people just had a hard time connecting with her because she wasn't available to connect with.
Who did you see as controlling that vote that first week when it went against Paige? Like how did that come about?
Yeah, because the thing is, everyone really did love Paige. Like, and I wish she could have, in other circumstances, stayed in the game. I think in a lot of ways, I'm not sure who had the most influence. Like, I don't know if any one individual in those early days can really be the swing. But I think, like, for me, and my strategy with, like, communicating with people is never just to tell them what to do, but, like, to work through, like, what they think their best options are and just support the option of, like, keeping Kelsey. Because for me, I know I don't want any showmances in this house. Like, I literally went in the game being like, I know showmances are going to be a huge problem going through, but these two people will never put me on the block. And Paige is already working with Dallas and Maddie, who at the time, like, I have zero connections with. I'm sure I'm, like, near the top of their radars. Maybe not number one and two, but, like, it doesn't help if I'm number three on their list. And so I think it was just her positioning. It was like, who is she working with? Not necessarily like I had a great relationship with Paige and I actually think she never would have put me up, but she was enabling people who I thought were like on sort of the opposite side as I was.
Interesting.
As we're going through all this stuff, I wanted to start to pepper in some of these questions that we're getting from the live audience. Let me take this one, which is from the Thaitan 11. Mitch, when did the jury house guests figure out that you're a YouTuber? Did you tell them one by one or tell them all collectively? And we get questions also about revealing that in the house as well. Can you just talk about your thought process on that? Because we've seen a lot of different people deal with that type of thing in different ways.
Yeah. So in the jury, it was just one by one. I mean, Raul, I did tell in the house before I left, but everyone else, they actually let us like have my book in the jury house. So it was a fun way to be like, hey, look, like it's a real thing. I'm not just like lying and saying this thing. So they could see it and everyone thought it was really cool. And it was like a nice way to do it individually. Because it felt less like, let's everyone come into a room and let me tell you about how, about myself. I don't know. It was like nice to just have like a real interaction without cameras. Like, hey, this is what I actually do.
You didn't tell people you were a mogul?
No, exactly. And I think that's part of the reason I was like very aware of it in the house. Like I was scared of it coming off that way. And I thought about in my last week using it as a viable strategy, but I was also like, it might make me look like a total fool if it doesn't work and I'm just like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. Like I didn't, it wasn't really like going to help me that much, except for maybe with somebody like Raul, and maybe it could have worked on someone like Phil, I think, who might've saw that as like a value asset outside of the world of Big Brother. But at the same time, it's like, okay, I could tell one person and maybe get away with telling no one else, which is what I did with Raul. But if I tell two people, like everyone in the house is going to find out. So I either tell like no one or I tell everyone. And I thought at the same time, like Tim or Nikki ever finding out that that's what I did might give them an excuse to say like, oh, like Mitch doesn't need this. Like, let's keep Joel, for example, because like Joel like wants to like has a different story that he's not going home to like the same kind of thing. Like more of an emotional piece. So I didn't think it would work on Tim and Nikki if I told them. And so if I couldn't count on their votes from that, I didn't want to like let anybody know about it. But I think that is one thing that maybe I would change if I went back. I was kind of worried about it coming off as like the internet social media mogul moment, because I was like, it does sound very narcissistic. And if they don't show me in the diary room being like, I know no one cares, but like, I'm going to use this like everyone cares. I guess that's my own personal flaw and like my own insecurities about my self-image on the show, or the ability for someone to like edit it however they want it.
Yeah, it's like the wingman thing. It's like if you're the person telling them about how great you are, then that comes off really bad. If you have a different person who's saying how great you are, then right. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. But then, you know, for All Stars, you won't have to worry about it.
I guess if there's an All Stars and if I'm an option at all, it'll be like... it would be something that everybody knew. It'd be a different game I'd have to play. Totally.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to go on All Stars if you were asked?
Yeah, willing for sure. I feel like I don't know if I would be asked. So it's like I just
won't. Oh, come
think
on!
About it.
You'll get asked.
Like, okay, in the sense of like if the top 50 get asked, like I don't know, and then they like they narrow it down by availability. I guess that's another thing. Like I don't know if I could ever get 3 months off again. I mean, I'm my own boss, so like I can get 3 months off whenever I want. But like, it's like a fairly severe amount of time for like the type of stuff I'm doing. And that was the hardest part of jury, was feeling guilty that like, you know, Greg and everyone that works at ASAP Science is like has the weight of ASAP Science on their shoulders, while I'm just like chilling, like kayaking for like 5 weeks. So.
You know, I'm very interested to know just from the opposite perspective in terms of your ASAP Science audience. Do you feel like that were they so, you know, supportive and understanding of you wanting to go and do Big Brother, or they're like, hey, come on, let's get back to the science?
I think for the most part, most of them probably didn't realize. So we like in anticipation of this possibly happening, made a lot of videos ahead of time, and our main series of videos is just my voice, so it was all just voiceover stuff that I could do before I left, and we could finish those videos. Obviously all the videos that I would have been in physically I wasn't, but I think, I mean, the majority of our audience is not Canadian, so they probably were just like, what happened to Mitch, what is Big Brother, where is Canada? And so like I don't know. Like, I think that people are obviously have been super supportive since I come back. And there's probably a segment of our audience that like was excited about Big Brother and now is excited that I'm back in sort of like the ASAP Science world. But yeah.
And what about Greg? Does he have a passion for Big Brother also, or is this your own thing that he just doesn't understand?
Yeah, no, he doesn't understand. I've tried so hard. I've gotten him into Survivor like through the years. Now he's a big Survivor fan, but I tried many times with Big Brother, and it's not like he hates it, but he doesn't watch it. Like, I've been watching it most of my young life, and so it's just like an utter obsession and addiction, right? Like, as we all know. Mm-hmm. But for him, like, he'll watch it casually, and he obviously watched this season, but once I was off, he just stopped watching.
Okay. All right. So many different questions we have for you. This is from Brian CJW. How did you feel when the show put the blame on you for ruining your game and not the fake eviction twist? Did you feel like that was misconstrued at all? Because they're sort of like your critics would say, like, well, you know, that was because, you know, Mitch should have known that this is Big Brother Canada. Anything is possible. Got to be prepared for that contingency.
Right. I mean, I think that argument is silly just because, like, then if you're preparing for every twist, it's hard enough to prepare for 16 people's actions, let alone the actions of Big Brother that could literally do anything. And so you can only play as best as you can play. And even if I could anticipate that twist, it literally just happened to be the two worst people that could have been put in a room for me. Had it been a different set of two people, it could have damaged somebody else's game. And so I think it's just too hard to try and anticipate that type of thing. But with regards to, like, the way it was portrayed, I'll give some of it a little bit of credit. So I do think the way it was portrayed on TV was that, like, had I not given my speech, they would have used the veto on me. I was like, that definitely wasn't the case. And you guys can tell me if I'm delusional. And anything I'm saying today, like, let me know if I'm okay.
No, we're on point. Keep going.
You've been saying everything that I've been saying on the podcast this whole season long. So I'm feeling great right now.
It's all redundant. You've been saying it all already. in general, like, anything I say, like, I know I probably have, like, an inflated vision of, like, why I had more influence in some things. But in this particular case, like, they had told me they weren't going to use it before the veto ceremony. So I had made that speech knowing, okay, like, it's not being used. But to give the edit some credit, I probably should have spent more time working on Jared, and maybe, like, I really thought the key to my success was Raul, which I think it was, because he wouldn't let them use the veto. But I wasn't really aware that Jared and Kelsey would have been that willing to use it on me. So I think that was, like, my ignorance in the game, that it all kind of stems from the yelling incident when, like, Jared and Raul are in the pantry and I'm kind of, like, listening outside, is the first moment when I was like, holy crap, Jared's so intense, and he was prepared to not let me know that this happened and then just backdoor me and get me out of this game. And then I see him like 10 minutes later and he's all friendly, and I'm like, whoa, I've seen this guy hate the brothers but be friendly to their face, and now I've seen him or heard him hate me and be friendly to my face. So, like, I really can't trust anything he says at this point, because he's really good at making me feel like he still trusts me, even though I just heard him, like, rip Raul to shreds over this whole incident. And so I think that put a wall between me and Jared. I was like, I might, if he convinces me he's going to use the veto and I don't give this speech, he probably still isn't going to use it because he's so good at lying to me. So yeah, I spent a lot of time working, trying to get Raul to say, like, you know, keep me, like, I was never going to go after you. Like, you can trust me. I won't go after you. If you use the veto on me, I'll have regained trust in all of you. And so definitely they weren't going to use that veto before my speech, but perhaps I could have spent a little more time with Jared and Kelsey those few days.
Yeah, something we noticed during the season was that this season in particular, it seemed like the edit kind of drifted from what was happening on the feeds, like, quite a bit. So you've been going back and watching the episodes. How has it been, like, watching this and seeing, maybe it's kind of seeing it from a different point of reality, really?
Yeah, I mean, some things are interesting, like, some, like, in particular, like, the stuff that I was very involved with, it's clear to me to see, like, exactly where the edit is so different than what we experienced in the house. But yeah, I understand in some situations where it helps to create a more, like, the house is so volatile and things can go back and forth all the time. And so I can fully appreciate from an editor's perspective, like, why having one sort of simplified story version makes sense, and why it's harder for them to, like, include the intricacies. And that's why I think in a lot of ways, like, my game wasn't featured that much. Well, A, because, like, I'm not, like, the most outgoing entertainer, but also I think, like, my game maybe was, like, subtle in a way, like intricate in a way that I wasn't just like running around saying who I wanted to be voted out. And so it wasn't, they can't just show me on camera saying what I want. The conversations I have with people, like, I don't do that in those conversations. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's difficult to describe. Like, if I need you to do something for me, I don't just come up to you and tell you to do that. I probably find a way to get you to say it, so it looks like it was your idea anyway. And so from a TV's perspective, like, they don't actually see that happening. Do you know what I mean? Unless they grill me in the DR and say, like, you know, and I'm able to actually lay it out, which just doesn't always come up or doesn't always happen. So I forget how I got here. Oh, yeah, the edit. So I can see why in some ways, like, the edit can go astray. But yeah, sometimes it's like, okay, this is weird that you literally made up a story that I don't think happened. But
it's based on a true story, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Something that that happened, I think you're probably on this part right now, was the week that the brothers are HOH and they put up Ramsey and Maddie. That's kind of the week that at least I saw Tim's game kind of fall apart, because he really pushed the brothers hard in multiple directions and then acted as though they were the ones being indecisive, and it really put the brothers off on Tim. How aware of that were you in the house that Tim had kind of lost a lot of standing and might have actually gone home if Ramsey hadn't left the game?
Yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that, to be honest. And having watched the TV show like version of it, like definitely didn't see that. And so, I mean, yeah, no, I had no idea. So that's interesting to know. Like, I wish I could go back and watch feeds. I guess there's tons of clips on YouTube and stuff, but they really did make it look like Tim kind of was like in control of this whole week or whatever. So I think at the same time, I mean, Tim was brought on that show to be a narrator in a sense and a voice, because he's so outgoing and he's so entertaining. And so I can see why they focused on his story so much. But I do think in a lot of cases, as much as he did have like a really good, like, strategic edit, there were times that I feel like many times that he didn't have control of the game. Like maybe weeks in a row where what he wanted didn't actually happen. And so that was interesting, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I do think he's like socially brilliant and could have gotten himself out of most situations.
Jordan, what were you going to ask?
I was going to ask, speaking of the edit, something that, you know, I talked to Joel with Taryn, actually, I think it was last week. I can't even remember. Brain's fried, something like that. And we were talking about the Big Brother baseball. That was something that, you know, we didn't really get to see the entire extent of how that really played out. We saw when the feeds came on, you were really upset. We didn't really ever find out why. So could you talk to us a little bit about that whole situation?
Sure. Yeah. I like try to be like, this is one of those, like, it's not a production talk necessarily, but just, I'll just be careful with what I say in terms of like, so that event was really intense. Like, we were all like drinking and they gave us like drinks to have, and so that obviously like stimulated the like aggressiveness. But like, I feel like they did play down that baseball bat throw. Now that I've seen it, for the longest time I didn't know if they showed it at all, but in that moment, like, the fight that kind of like broke out from that, or the aggression that broke out from that, was like much higher than what it felt on TV, with like Jared and Dallas like really going at it, and Maddie like in pretty severe pain with like a huge black bruise on her leg. And some of us are sitting there like, whoa, like if that hit her head, like she could have like been dead. You know what I mean? Like, these kind of things happen all the time when people just bang their heads. And so, but then because people were on teams and everyone was drinking, it just got into like, you know, teams were protecting teams, and it like people were yelling at each other, defending it and fighting against it. And so I think after that, like probably like 5 or 6 people were like crying, just because it was like so emotional. And then for me, I just had like, I don't know, like a moment where I was like, okay, I'm on a TV show that's going to exploit the fact that someone threw a baseball bat, and that's entertainment, but I'm on the show, and like, I chose to be on the show. Like, how does that make me look? Or if they don't show it, then they're protecting Tim's image. And then that also fucked up with my mind. You know, like, that also played with my brain. So I was just in my own head about like being on a reality show and like being in a really intense moment where I was like, okay, like, is this entertainment? And is this like what they want to happen? Are there people behind the cameras that are happy that this happened, even though like someone's life could have been endangered? But like now, knowing like the people in production, like I really don't think and hope that none of them were happy that that happened. But that's just like you never know, right? Like for any reality show, like, you know, I've seen that, Unreal. Like, I know how this stuff goes. So.
That's true. Also, based on a true story?
Exactly. So that was kind of like my perspective and why I was just being emotional, but it was all like in my own head about like just my own like moral or ethical ground with like reality shows.
Was the baseball bat, we debated this on the podcast at the time, was the baseball bat wooden? Do you remember? Like, was that a legitimate baseball bat?
It was metal, I think. Like, it was heavy. Oh, wow. Like, there was two. There was like a littler one you could use, but the one Tim had was like the giant one that like honestly weighed a lot. So it definitely, like, Maddie for the like next week had like a black bruise up under upper thigh. Like, it definitely hurt her. Wow. And so I feel like that just wasn't really emphasized for whatever reason. Like, and a lot of things, like watching back, Jordan, you probably feel the same way. Like, sometimes the emotion in the house, like, it just can't translate onto TV. No matter what, you're like, that happens really fast. I remember, like, feeling so freaked out when that happened, or, like, so intense when that happened.
Or vice versa sometimes, too, right?
Yeah, you're like, why was that moment so overplayed? It was just, like, I literally rolled my eyes for 1 second.
Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Pitt Steelers 001. Did you see the episode where after Jared won POV, both Jared and Kelsey talked to Raul about backdooring the brothers and keeping you, but Raul was the one against it? If so, how did you feel watching that? You know, I also got that question from our good buddy Nelson Bronco, who wanted to know that same piece of information.
Yeah, totally. Like, I texted him. I was like, you dummy, why'd you do this to me? No, like, we're totally good now, but obviously I have some qualms about our gameplay. I feel like I said, I now recognize that there was maybe perhaps an opportunity for me to really push with Jared and Kelsey that I didn't take advantage of, because I really thought my route was Raul, which I think at the end of the day, like, they were following his orders because he was HOH and he was like, I won't backdoor the brothers. But maybe had I colluded more with Jared and Kelsey earlier in that week, or like between veto being won and then veto ceremony, maybe like the three of us could have gone to him and they could have helped him regain trust in me. And not, I think part of it was shame for Raul. Like, he didn't want to have put me up and then taken me off and felt like stupid for doing that. Even though, yeah, I think like it was a frustrating time because I fully understood why they could be distrusting, because like I did have a hand and I wanted Kelsey gone. But the hard part was explaining, like, but I didn't want either of you two gone. Like, this isn't just a game where we just take sides out. It's, like, much more intricate. It's about, like, house dynamics, and Kelsey being gone, like, creates a house dynamic that benefits the three of us, in my opinion. Or, like, mostly it benefits me. Or that's, like, why I was doing it, rather. So, yeah, maybe, I just don't know, though, if it would have, even if I was pushing, I mean, I was pushing Raul. I guess all three of us were pushing Raul to try and use the veto, but he wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. And the brothers go on to win, and the rest is history.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is one of those moments where it's like, I think the brothers got by because it was always just like, oh, we'll always be able to get them out. You know what I mean? Like, they're always like a physical target. So like, let's keep them here. And that's why I think at some points people wanted to keep Jared and Kelsey together, because they're like, well, they together are a bigger target. So if we keep them here, you know, other people will do our dirty work by getting them out. But yeah. That was a key moment for the brothers, probably.
Okay. Let's do another question. This is from Olivia, who wants to know, love you, Mitch. Did you audition multiple years? How was your audition process?
Yeah, I auditioned for season 3. I sent in a video audition and did really well. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it, but the audition process was great. Like, they were super supportive and seemed to like me a lot. And then it all kind of culminated in me coming back again this year and getting on. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that I found that I've talked to that almost got on season 3, and it makes me really regret that you guys were not on season 3 instead of some individuals.
Yeah, I don't know how they decide these things, and if I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of get a pool of people that they like, and then they're like, okay, how do we stick them into the different seasons we know are coming up, because we want these people together, but not with these people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's some mix of that.
It's a formula.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Shannon wants to know, I know you've been watching your season lately. How would you rank it compared to the other BB Can seasons?
Oh, I honestly don't think I can. Like, having watched it, it's a surreal experience. It's way, way different than when I've ever watched a season before, Big Brother. Because in some ways, like, my friends and family and people on the internet have given me impressions of how certain people were perceived. But, like, especially for the parts when I was there, like, the show has not changed any of my perception of people when I think it's just because I was there and I was like, oh yeah, I already saw all this. Like I already have emotions and feelings about all this. So there's not really a lot I can change. And no one's like making fun of me or making me feel bad about anything. So in that sense, it's just difficult to rank because I lived it. And when I was living it, I was like, oh, this is like really intense. Like this must be so interesting. I thought it was interesting just because it was like the dynamic of House was split pretty immediately. And then I really wanted to create like that middle group to say like, we don't just have to be floaters. Like let's actually be an alliance where we like just keep the other guys picking off each other. But when it comes, if one of us is on the block, like we have each other. And I also was like, I never want a unanimous vote like that. That's just going to get people off scot-free. Like, why don't we just create a division, make people think we might vote one way, we might vote another. And so I thought that was like maybe going to be good TV. I'm not sure how it came off. Like, and watching it now, I don't think I have a good perspective, except the parts now that where
great
I
TV
never.
Mitch. Great
it
TV.
It was good.
Mitch.
All right. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Like, now that I'm off the show and watching it, like I feel like I'm enjoying it in a different way because it genuinely is stuff that I just like don't really know about. So maybe once I get to the end of the season, I'll have like a more well-rounded view.
I heard the rankings were 2-1-4-3. That's what I heard.
All right.
I heard that on reality TV Happy Hour. In terms of the strategy that you outlined with playing the middle, do you feel like that you cracked something? Do you feel like that you were onto something? And then people like maybe going into Big Brother 18 here in the U.S. can use what you built? Or do you feel like that there were problems with it that you didn't account for besides for whatever goes on with the twists?
I think a lot of people have tried to play the middle ground throughout Big Brother history. Some have done it successfully for a variety of reasons. And a lot of times it collapses on you. And I think I always knew it would collapse on me. I think in the beginning, especially like you're silly if you don't like, especially when you don't know these people, it takes a long time to actually understand and get to know people. And if you're going to jump into solid alliances so early on, you're probably going to find out that a lot of those people aren't that trustworthy or you don't actually get along with them. And so for me, it wasn't even so much an intentional decision in the beginning so much as like, I'm going to keep my options open here because I want to find out who people actually are when it comes to voting and it comes to strategizing, it comes to like, I tell them something, do they tell everyone else what I said? But I think if you play the middle, you just have to know at some point it will collapse on you. And for me, I knew it would. Like, I knew me, Tim, and the brothers were actually probably in the best positions, like, the previous weeks before I went on the block because most people wouldn't have put us up. And so it was going to be hard, and a lot of people would have protected us before getting out of other people. And so if I knew that, I knew other people were starting to realize that. And so I was like, okay, in a few weeks, I'm going to have to deal with this fact that everyone's like, Mitch is likable. He's in a great position. No one wants to get him out, especially with someone like Tim there. Like Tim was always my biggest problem because he was always going to be aware of these things. I think my game would have switched no matter what. As much as it was kind of like amplified a lot faster and earlier than I thought it would, I think I would have kind of gone into another variation of that mode regardless, just because you have to switch your game up if you don't want to be predictable.
It's interesting they mentioned that actually, because that was going to be one of my questions. Was I remember, I think it was like week two, you having a conversation with Joel, basically outlining what you just said. You're like, you know, we're kind of playing the middle. And I feel like at some point people are going to be like, hey, Mitch and Joel, they're kind of quiet. They're likable. Like, why we should start looking at them. Yeah. And I always wondered because you never, like you kind of drifted from Joel and you never really had anyone to kind of talk about that stuff with from that point on, at least from my point of view. So I always wondered like what your perspective was moving forward, like what you were actively doing to make sure that you were on top of it when that perspective did change.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hold the middle together because like it's usually players who want to not give out a lot of information, want to be seen as neutral. And so the idea of even like banding together a middle is risky if you're the loudest voice, right? Because you're like, you're wanting to make an alliance with a bunch of people who are afraid of making alliances or afraid of like making decisions. And the brothers are a perfect example of that. They never, and this is probably part of their strategy that's good. It's the most infuriating thing to deal with in real life. But like they wouldn't say anything. You would just like talk to them and like they would just be like, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. And like you could never get a name out of them ever. They would only ever say like, oh, not you, man. I'm not really you, don't worry. Like, that's all they could ever say. And so I think there was a point when I knew like, okay, the middle team is not really a team. and that's fine as long as we're not going after each other. But I think like Joel and I had a solid relationship, even though we weren't always voting the same way. So I think we always touched base with each other. And I think just from like a mutual respect point of view, like we liked each other. And I think that would have carried our relationship. And I always tried to like propose him options to help him get in with like Jared or Raul when Kelsey left, even though we didn't take him. Like that was the week that Maddie ended up staying. I was like, look, if you vote to keep Maddie, it's going to buy you favor with Jared and Raul if we let them know you're going to do that. And then you're in a solid group now. So Joel, I feel like I had on my side, maybe not the whole game, but at least at that point, especially the week Maddie stayed, I think I like got Maddie and Ramsey behind me in that corner. Especially Maddie, like I think she just like was committed to me because I probably campaigned hardest for her. Nikki, that was the week when I was like, Nikki's mine after this. Not mine, like I love Nikki, and not to say I was like, she's mine, but like that was the point where like she had been Tim's the whole game and she just voted with me and not with Tim. And I was like, okay, I never have to worry about Nikki's vote anymore. Like we are a package deal now. And had Kelsey not come back, I was like, Jared and Raul will think I'm in this like three-person alliance with them. So I wasn't aligned with everyone, but you can't be aligned with everyone. And that was me building my case against like Tim and Cassandra and the brothers, for example, was that I had all these other people surrounding me who I think didn't see my position as well as maybe someone like Tim did.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Edward Morris. Was your vote for the winner pro Nick and or Phil or anti Kelsey?
It wasn't anti, I don't know. It wasn't pro Nick and Phil. I'll tell you that.
And maybe pro luck.
Yeah. Like it was,
Mitch, I think you outlined it earlier. You said you voted for the brothers because they seemed like they actually wanted to win. And I know like, and that Phil was a big super fan. And I think that's very justifiable. And you haven't gotten to this point in the season yet, but there's a moment, I think it's in the episode right before the finale, where they, each of the final three campaigns to Canada, and they say why they deserve to win. And Kelsey's reason pretty much sums up why you shouldn't vote for her. She said, you should vote for me because winning Big Brother Canada is my dream right now.
Not so much tomorrow on finale night. Yeah, like I just felt like in that moment it wasn't like anti her, although like her answers to my question really, I went into that being like, okay, I'm pretty even on them, but like if I feel like they're both even, I'm probably gonna vote for Kelsey because is what I said I would do. And I feel like the brothers had such a lucky game that I almost like it hurt to vote for them. But as I was sitting there, I was like, you know, there are things that they did do. And I don't really value challenges that much, but they had done a good job in winning challenges. And I was like, I've got to go off some metric. Like, at least this is one. So,
okay. Let's take a question from Sarah Powell. Says, Mitch, on a personal note, how disorienting was it to be back in the real world? And how wonderful was it to see Greg?
So it's so weird to be back in the real world. I mean, now I'm kind of acclimatized to it, but seeing Greg was weird, like very strange because we've been together for 9 years and most of those 9 years we spend like all of our time together, especially now that we have a business. Like we live together, we work together, all our friends are the same. So to be away from someone like that with no communication was like a very bizarre experience, hopefully healthy and good for our relationship. But it was extreme getting back together and like seeing him and like having that moment. And yeah, society is like, it hasn't been too absurd. At first I like honestly, touch screens freaked me out when I came back. Like I couldn't quite figure out how to use them. And in those first like 30 seconds, I was like, my brain does not compute what I'm supposed to do here.
Well, if you would have been HOH, you would have had to do touch
exactly.
screens to put up the nominations.
And like the show me panel or whatever, like, I don't know, all the stuff I never saw until I'm watching the show. But yeah, no, I think that it's been fun coming back. It was weird. And it's a lot of like catching up. So it's exhausting because you're catching up with everyone that you've ever met in your life. But fun.
Okay, what if they told you, okay, Mitch, we want you to come back for All Stars, but we want you and Greg to play as one person like the Pax Bros?
I mean, like, I'd probably do it, but I think they'd have a hard time convincing Greg. And we'd also be like, what happens today is not science. Like, can we have internet in the house this year?
No, the Pax Bros will run it while you're gone.
Okay, yeah, then no. Cancel that. No, they're great guys. Like I don't want to make it sound like I'm like harping on them too much. Like they won, they deserve the win, and they're nice boys.
Yeah.
They're nice guys.
Well, what do you have an update? What do you know, have any idea what they've been up to since the finale?
Not too much. I mean, I follow most of our cast on Snapchat, so like I see some stories here and there of what they're doing. But yeah, it just seems like everyone's kind of back to normal life. Lots of people doing like appearances and gigs and stuff like that. But I don't know. Yeah, the hardest, like honestly, the hardest part for me to vote for them was just knowing how large their ego would be afterwards. That was the factor that I was like, and then I was like, you know, I have to let go of that. Like, that's the thing. If that's the thing that's holding me back, then that's not what I want to vote based on.
Speaking of that, Mitch, have you heard that Phil was comparing the Brothers game to Derek Levasseur in Big Brother 16?
I mean, I've seen some comments about that on the internet. And I mean, like, I know they look really similar in terms of gameplay. Like, they're quite different. And I wonder what Derek has to say about that. But there are moments and things that I could, like, good aspects of the Brothers game I could point out. But yeah, again, like it's hard to stomach in some ways, like, but you just have to accept that luck is a part of this game, like any board game. And like I said, like, we all only had one chance to play this board game. And when you play a board game multiple times, maybe we'd see where they actually rank on a list of, like, maybe they could win multiple times. But when you play a board game once, like, you know, sometimes the person who's never heard of the game has like this beginner's luck phenomenon. So perhaps that's what happened to them. And perhaps that's what happened to Derek. We'll never know. I love Derek. I'm just joking. Like, I didn't mean to say that. It's like, it's Derek.
Okay, let's take another question. This is from Messern, who says, what big fights did we miss? We didn't see any. Were there big fights that they didn't show us? Because you would presume that if there were big fights in the house, they would show them on a show.
I think there were a lot of big fights that I didn't. It's hard for me. I have a pretty bad memory, so like it's hard for me to remember. But I feel like there was quite a few blowouts that weren't featured up to the point that I was in the show. So even just like, obviously, like mine and Dallas's fight, or I think earlier in the season, there was a big blowout when they were calling out Dallas for being the extra vote on one side. And he was like denying. Yeah. Ramsey was like really implicated in that as well. I remember there being like a huge fight where Ramsey was like really upset and part of that. And it almost looked like it had damaged his game the most because Dallas, I guess, had like thrown him under the bus. So sometimes they show aspects of fights, but I think for simplicity, they like keep it narrowed to like a storyline. So, certainly I'm sure if I sat down and made a list, I could come up with a lot of fights that weren't on the show, but I don't know. Jordan, do you feel the same way? Like, are there in your season? Like,
well, my season was the season of love, Mitch. So So every fight pretty much made it in. Cause we were like the Brady Bunch when we go to sleep, right. You're like, good night guys. Good night. Love you. Especially when the Ginger Ninja went home, then it was like, okay, there's no more drama.
Right.
But certainly, yeah, there's going to be things that they're going to miss. I mean, there's only, we get 3 hours, with commercials, it's even less than that of the show each week. And really there's a whole week to show. So, and especially on your season during the beginning, when you were in the house, there was just so much stuff going on that you can't really cram everything in there.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Yo Dog, who says, in hindsight, what do you think would have been better for your game? The house evicting the brothers earlier or not voting Kelsey back in? We talked about what would happen if LaVita came back in, but what if the brothers went out early in the game?
I don't know, like, if that would have made, to be honest, I think another thing that was always on my mind was that there's probably going to be a triple eviction this season. Obviously with Ramsey's departure, that was like kiboshed, but I think the brothers would have always had the hardest time making it through a triple eviction. And that's what my proposal was to them before I left. I mean, the brothers won, so obviously we should have got them out earlier, but I think for my game, especially, I think that the twist with like Kelsey or LaVita coming back was probably the biggest damage. And had I stayed, I think, I don't know. It's really hard to go back and like imagine what would be, and I'm sure I'll just end up like touting my own abilities, right? Like, they probably could have still won. Who knows? Maybe we should have got them out like really early in the game, but I don't know. It's so interesting when you're in there, you realize just how important like winning HOH is. Like, the game can just take a full 180 based on who wins HOH. It can be a 7-person alliance against one, and that one person wins, and suddenly the game's up in the air. And so it's just, that's the name of the game, and you can't really predict what's going to happen other than to say maybe like 1 or 2 weeks down the line, you can trust that certain people won't put you up. But even then, it's just like, you don't know who's going to win HOH. It's not like Survivor, where I feel like on like a computational level, you can just kind of like plow through if you need to, if you have a strong enough alliance and the circumstances give you that opportunity. Whereas in Big Brother, it's just like a little more out of your hands in some ways. But there's just different intricacies between both games that I don't mean to like say Survivor is easier in any way.
How dare you? How dare you, Mitch? No, like, though, just talking about this sort of big picture question of this, the strategy, which was so interesting to watch, of playing the middle. Do you feel like that this is a point against playing the middle? Because eventually, it doesn't matter how long you ride out the middle, somebody that you don't want is going to be the HOH at some point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, well, I think that's a reason to want to play the middle, just because it's like, if someone knows, mm-hmm. like, you know, for me, it was like, I'm never going to go after someone who I know isn't going to put me up on the block. But if I know they are, or if they've said they are, that's who I'm going to go after. And so when you play the middle, you're trying to mitigate that, like the fact that if anyone wins, they won't put me up because they think I'm working with them. Or like for me, just my personality is to try and get along with everyone. And so you kind of go in with a certain set of skills. And so even if I wasn't playing the middle, I still would have been talking to everybody, right? And I think everyone's cast with different personality traits, and some people are not as capable at that, or don't want to, or just get aggressive and dislike people. But for me, I was like, but I want to keep my options open, and I'm able to hang out with everyone, so I may as well do that. I think there's a point at which everyone starts looking at the middle more intensely. So if you can start in the middle and then get yourself out of there, then that's probably like a reasonable strategy.
Okay. All right, let's take some more questions. Okay, LMAO wants to know, talking about personal life, whoa, how has it been with the fan experience via Twitter and other social media? How do Big Brother fans differ from ASAP Science fans? More cats, right?
Yeah, much more cats. I mean, it's been fun. It's been definitely really interesting to see like that level of interaction now. It's definitely, and I mean, I'm sure it will... wear in a different way, like wear off as the season becomes like further and further away. Okay, Jordan's saying no. Okay, they'll be there forever. Okay, I love them all. I love everyone I've been able to like meet on Twitter and stuff. I feel lucky in a sense that I've been super supported, and so I haven't had to deal with like a whole lot of hate or anything like that. Which might, if I had, maybe I'd be like, yeah, I said Science for Life. Like, I'm never gonna. I hate the Big Brother fans, but I've had a fairly good experience. But yeah, it's cool to have like these kind of two different audiences, of which there's like some Venn diagram crossover between them. But they're definitely very engaged right now, particularly because like we're still talking about this season of the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is from Marlon, who wants to know, if it was Cass and Tim in the final two, who would you have voted for?
Ah, that's so hard. I think based on my knowledge in jury, I probably would have voted for Tim. Like based on where my head was at, I just saw Tim as the like heavy mastermind and knew his ability to like read people and to just understand what they were doing or how to get to them. And I never really saw that in Cass, but I was hearing that kind of stuff about Cass as the game was going on. But I think just maybe as I'm watching the show, I might change my opinion. And I know people like kind of really end up respecting and loving Cass both personally and strategically. And I'm excited to finish the season to see that. But I think knowing nothing else but what I knew in jury, I think I may have voted for Tim, but it just depends who came to jury and how they told their stories and how it built my image of this season.
Okay. This is a question. This is from 0P681. What did you do to pass the time in the jury house?
Watched a lot of Downton Abbey. I read books. I had a bunch of books that were like science related that I was reading, which was nice. So I could like, you know, like I was being productive and like doing stuff for ASAP Science. And then, yeah, it's just a lot of like relaxing outside in the sun, which we don't get in the house, which was nice. Had amazing weather, so we could like go kayaking and stuff. We were on like a lake house, which was really nice. So much sitting around. And so when I came back, literally just like walking around, I was like so sore after getting home. And I was like, wait, why do my muscles feel like I worked out so hard from literally, and like, I have a standing desk at work here that I can like raise up and down, and I would like put it up when I got here. And then after like 30 seconds, be like, I'm tired. Like, I'm going to sit back down again. And everyone in the office is just like, are you okay? Like, so it was a lot of nothing, but fun nothing, I guess.
We were talking real quick before we came on live that you had watched a lot of Survivor after you got out of the Big Brother house. Could you give us your thoughts on Survivor Go Wrong? Spoiler alert for anybody who has not seen it.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I loved this season. It was so exciting. Like, it's so fun to watch. I loved that I could watch it back to back to back in a row like that. It was a good experience. And I really wanted Aubrey to win at the end. I loved Aubrey. I liked Sydney a lot too. But actually, when it was the final four, I was like, all these people I like, whether it's like on a strategy level or a personal level, like a lot of the people I were like the villains or like on, but loved the season of Survivor.
Okay.
I have a question. You talked about how you've watched Big Brother for a long time. Have you seen all the seasons, or like, when did you start watching?
I think I started watching season 5, but had gone back after that to watch maybe season 2. I don't think I ever watched 3 or 4 or 1, but I've probably seen like clips or episodes from them. And then from season 5 onward, I think I watched every season, although I did stop watching season 15 for a variety of reasons. Like just with like life and whatever, but also if it was the only time I was like, ah, some of these people are so awful, I can't even watch the show. And so I feel bad because I know like Andy was also a really big supporter of me. So I've never like fully finished his season. I probably got halfway through it. I know that probably like, hopefully that doesn't make him hate me, but other than that, I think I've seen like every season.
Okay. So here's the hard hitting question. Will or Dan?
I think that is a really hard question.
It is, right?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I think oh my gosh. I don't know if I have a proper answer for that. I feel
it's
all like
right. You can say it's even.
Well, to build off of that, like Mitch, I watched like some of your vlogs while you were in the house, and you actually met Dan while my season, I think, was airing, or right before then, when he was on the Global Morning Show and you and Greg were on the Global Morning Show.
Yeah.
So what was that experience like? And have you been in touch with Dan at all since you've been home?
Yeah, that was super cool. Cause like, I mean, I was hoping I'd be on that season, but then, and, you know, everything happens for a reason. We had our book come out. So we were like doing a book tour, and then part of it was doing that press stuff at Global, and Dan was there. So that was really cool to get to meet him at that moment. And like, he was a fan of ASAP Science or was very interested in it. And I was like a super fan of him. And since I've been home, yeah, he's like tweeted me and like wanted to chat and stuff. So it's cool to be in this community, even like talking to you guys now. Like I watched you guys all. Well, I mean, I've watched this podcast. You know, I watched you, Jordan, on the show, and then I watched you like afterwards. But I've watched this for so long. So even just like seeing you guys, it's like surreal to like be a fan of something and now just like be in it. You know what I mean? So it's been a cool experience to have like that degree of separation come down to like zero.
Has it changed your perception of the show or even just the game, like having been on it and now like talking with all these people?
I mean, obviously there's something like being in the game changes your perception of the show in some ways. Just from like living it versus watching it. And I'm sure the same can be said about Survivor. Like there's only so much you can really feel through a TV versus like being there. It's like much more intense. Like I never understood why people cried at Head of Household Letters. But then like when I was there, I was like, yeah, I want that so bad. Like I want that letter. And I feel when people are like getting upset, like I totally empathize. Like my brain feels like I could cry at any moment for no reason. So like you feel certain things that you just can't come through the TV. It seemed like Slop was so much worse than I imagined it would be. I never was on it, but like people being on it, seeing what they go through and how hard it is, like I feel like it doesn't, especially on the American season, like it doesn't really come through that Slop is like literally one of the most awful things you have to go through. And yeah, so I mean, it's changed my perspective, not in like necessarily a good or bad way, but I'm curious to watch next season, especially now too, having been through it all, and maybe I'll be able to see that whole season in a new way.
What about Big Brother 18? Are you pumped up for Big Brother to come back, or are you Big Brothered out for a couple months?
Oh, no. I'll watch it for sure. Yeah. I mean, like, what else is on in the summer, right? Like, what else am I going to do? I'm excited for it. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, very excited as well. All right. Any other questions for Mitch?
Ooh, let's see. One from me that did not get asked. We talked to Joel about the alliance between you, him, and Levita called Shut Your Mouth. Two questions. One, do you know why it was called Shut Your Mouth? And two, were you actually loyal to those guys? Like, did you have a plan to stick with them, or was that just convenient for you at the time?
Okay. So the Shut Your Mouth name, I'm pretty sure I was told came out of a game they were bored. And one day Joel made up where like someone would just walk out of the room and then walk back in and say something, and everyone else just had to say, shut your mouth. Like one of these games that Joel came up with that was like entertaining in its own right. So I think like the shut your mouth name became part of something that he wanted to bring to the table. That alliance, yeah, like it definitely wasn't just an alliance of convenience. With Joel especially, like I thought he and I connected like on a friendship level that I knew translated well into a game level. And even when we were voting opposite, I was always like, I think Joel and I like can work together, even though we're kind of like a little bit being swayed to different sides of the house. Levita was always a bigger question mark for me, not because I didn't want to work with her, but because I thought she couldn't trust me. And so that was like the hardest part, was like she had a hard, and we were pushing for different agendas, especially when Joel was the HOH. Like my initial assumption was like, okay, like let's get Dallas and Maddie out, like, or like get Dallas on the block and get him out. Or like I wasn't quite ready to go after Jared and Kelsey. But when the option was proposed, I was like, okay, actually, this is probably a good opportunity to get Kelsey out. But we were fighting for different interests. And like when Maddie won that double HOH and put up Jared and Raul was when I was like, I made a mistake. Like I should have won this because I just let like two people who never would have got me out go up on the block. I only just wanted Kelsey out of here. And then that's when Levita went, and I was kind of like, oh, well, like, I don't think she trusted me anyway. So like, that's kind of good. And now I have Joel more than, like, I think Joel actually might've trusted her more than me, or they had like, she was really good at spending time with Joel. So I think that maybe she was his main alliance and I was like number three or like number two to him. And so in that sense, Levita leaving, I think like, let me be closer to Joel. So it was every alliance, I think, in the beginning of the game is an alliance of convenience, or I think every alliance in the game is probably an alliance of convenience, and that's what I've tried to make people like when the week I was going, I was like, Jared and Kelsey have an alliance with everyone right now, and they're just gonna like the one that works out is the one they're gonna say, like, yeah, that's the one we were like with all the time. That frustrated me that people couldn't do that. So I think people are in denial if they pretend that, like, or maybe they just were really bad at the game and they just want to be super loyal.
Possible. All right, Taryn, you have the last word. What's one more question for Mitch?
What was your favorite part of the whole experience?
I think just like the surrealness of it, like walking into the house, and even just like last day when we were there, we got to go back one more time for press. We did our press inside the house and then kind of like leaving it for one last time. It's just like this little time capsule of like the most bizarre experience that no one else can really understand. Just like that aspect, that something weird happened in my life that very few people have experienced. And I knew that the second I walked in, it was just like bright lights and cameras. And it's just like, how is this happening? It's something that even like I could just never create for myself. Do you know what I mean? Like I have aspirations in my life, but even if that was one, I'm not going to spend like millions of dollars to get that done. So
yeah,
it's nice to have someone else spend those millions of dollars and do it. And then you just get to go experience it. So I think that was the most interesting and fascinating part to me.
All right. Well, Mitch, it was so nice to have you on the show, and such an added bonus today. If you follow at Jade Eyed Monster on Twitter, there is a whole collection of clips of all of us talking about Mitch from all season long on Big Brother Canada 4. This was a very impressive and frightening project that was accomplished.
It was amazing. It made me feel great today. It was just like all the nice things you guys said about me. And I was like, oh, well, I'm excited to go on the podcast.
Yeah, Jade Eyed Monster. Check that out on Twitter. That's really great. Also, we are going to be speaking with the aforementioned Cassandra coming up this week on Tuesday. Lock that down. Yeah, so that's going to be some more Big Brother Canada chatting. And then the march to Big Brother 18 continues here on Rob as a podcast, that in addition to everything that Jordan is doing on the reality TV happy hour, we're going to try to get some Big Brother preseason content up for you guys. And of course, the Big Brother live feeds are available through CBS All Access. You can go ahead and buy them through the website when you go to robasawebsite.com/live feeds or click on the banner in the sidebar of robasawebsite.com. All right. Anything else, Mitch? Is there a hashtag you want to put out there from this conversation?
Oh, I just realized that photo behind you, like, here's a little tidbit. They made me like go on my tippy toes for that. So I'm really like flashing my arms out on my tippy toes. And if you see the whole version, like I'm the only one doing this bizarre pose. And so maybe it can be hashtag tippy toes.
Tippy toes. Great. All right. right. Again, Mitch, so nice to finally get to sit down and talk to you about the game.
Likewise. Thank you guys so much for having me. And I appreciate all you've done throughout the season and everything you do at the show. So hope you'll have me back one day.
Yeah. And I'd love to get you in the rotation to talk about the Big Brother, talk about the Survivor, and anything else that you're watching. Would love to have you back on.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thank you guys so much.
Okay. Jordan, what's coming up on Reality TV Happy Hour?
Okay, so this Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, the live feed correspondents and I are going to be projecting what we think Big Brother 18 would look like if it was an all-star season. So so not necessarily who we would want, but who we think if it's all-stars, who CBS would ask. So that should be an interesting podcast. Other than that, Mike Bloom and I are going to be doing a movie podcast next week. American Idol's over, so we're going to be talking about From Justin to Kelly, arguably one of the worst movies of all time. So if you want to check that out, go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour.
Yes.
Should be two fun shows.
Well, I feel like that was sort of like a manifest destiny that is coming to fruition, because I remember back in, was it December or January when you and Mike Bloom did the oral history of Big Brother, which of American Idol, which I thought was really a fantastic podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, if you want to check that out too, it's on the website. I think if you just search American Idol, it'll come up. But yeah, Mike Bloom and I in January sat down and went through season by season and talked about all of American Idol. And it was a really fun conversation.
Yes, and also I thought you guys did a great job on the Big Brother Canada think tank of all the different ideas that you sent to the Yukon. I especially loved Taryn's idea to build a season all about just bringing a Mitch back. Great job, Taryn. Send that to the Yukon.
I think I said smart people, but that does mean Mitch, so
yes. Aww, thank you. Don't send it to Topaz's baby shower. Okay. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes with all of the questions tonight. Greatly appreciate that. We'll be back. By the way, check out our interview with Sydney from Survivor. I thought that was a really great interview that she did here on the podcast. And we've got plenty more coming up next week. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go ahead, go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes or search for RJP in your favorite podcatcher. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you soon.